Delighted to be joined in the studio once again by Shane Murphy from the Oil Cancer House. Good afternoon, Shane. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'd say that was the longest break we've had from me not being on the radio. I think it's a solid month. So you know,
is it a month or 3 weeks?
I think it's a month, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, I mean, we had the bank holiday and then we had something in it. Might be, I think it's because I was on holidays last week, so I think there's a month.
By God, there we go.
There you go.
So it was a blast from the past,
that's
really.
That's it, yeah.
So how have you been keeping it since?
Good, yeah, can't complain, you know. We're settling into the winter and, you know, it's not a bad settling in at the moment, like, because I think I was reading an article there today, like, about we have, you know, this storm of Wanda is pushing this hot air in our direction. They're talking 15, 16, 17 degrees this week, like, so, I mean, geez.
No, it is pretty milder out, in fairness, all right, it is.
And it makes the winter shorter if we're into the middle of November and then we still have warmish weather,
it is.
We'll take it.
Whether it's a climate change thing or not, but we won't go and let
We won't even talk about that sort of stuff now at the moment.
But what we're going to talk about today, Shane, is a little bit about procrastination.
Yeah, and I think everybody has procrastinated about something in their life, but it's actually, you know, it's a mental illness, you know, because people can, you know, put off, you know, I mean, I was reading about it, there's actually, of procrastination, 80% of students struggle with procrastination, and any student that actually struggles with procrastination can get low grades and stuff like that, because they say to themselves, oh sure, geez, I don't have that assignment due until the 18th of November, and then suddenly they need it on the 9th of November because they've actually put it out so far, and then they say it's not as big a job as I thought it was.
Yeah.
And you know, and having procrastinated myself in the past, you know, it's when you actually come out the other side, you kind of go, why did I put that off for so long? It was never that bad, because that's what procrastination is. You're assuming something's going to be bad or hard or unpleasant, and you put it off.
Yeah, because I'm surprised you actually classed it as a kind of a mental illness. Like,
yeah, procrastination and rumination is a big thing. It's huge as far as anxiety, depression. When you think of procrastination, it's for future, anyhow.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is a mental illness. It's something that actually, when somebody approaches me, you know, you're talking, for me, working with a client that's struggling with procrastination, you're talking 8, 9, 10 sessions, you know, it's quite
really,
a big, it's a big mental health problem of procrastination, because people are putting off events, and that has having a detrimental effect on their normal life. A client that might be putting off breaking up with the girlfriend or something like that, we're not talking procrastination of weeks here, we're talking years of procrastinating, because you'll be worried about what the impact of your decision is going to have on someone else. And you just keep on putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, and it has a detrimental effect on you, because the client would become depressed, the client would create anxiety, and be worried about what they're saying, and to keep on putting off, you know, I mean, let's just say breaking up with your wife or breaking up with your husband or something like that. If you procrastinate and you put it off long enough, it's causing arguments, causing problems in it, and you'll keep on putting it off. People just assume procrastination is just about, you know, you get a letter in the post and you don't want to open it because it's got a government stamp on it or something like that.
Yeah.
And that is a form of it, but it is definitely, it's a mental health problem, procrastination. I didn't bring up the subject just for us to just in general talk about it, you know what I mean?
I'm surprised, because to me, procrastination, just putting stuff off.
Yeah, but have you ever put back off a very big decision or something like that and then when it actually happens, you know,
it's
you
a,
actually
a weight off.
You, huge weight is released off you that when you actually do it.
Probably did, surely, yeah, must have, yeah.
But I mean, you know, I think 20% of the population of the world procrastinate, and 20% actually causes severe mental illnesses within people, because they keep on procrastinating about something. And usually it's the big things, but if you're stuck in the loop of doing procrastination, it can drop into the smaller things. It can drop into things like, you know, changing the oil in your car and things like that. And all these things have a detrimental effect on your life, on what you do. And you just basically procrastinate about everything in your life. You can't make decisions on anything.
This is something that can manifest.
It can manifest into a major, major problem, like, because you just literally can't make any decision for yourself in your life. And, you know, I mean, even the link I sent to you today, I presume you studied it, but, you know, it's 387 pages long. You know, it's just on procrastination.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's full subjects. Like, I mean, rumination and procrastination was an actual module that I actually did when I was studying in college. So, I mean, you know, it is a word that when it's mentioned, people go, geez, everybody procrastinates about thing. But it can have a detrimental effect on you if you procrastinate about it too much. Now, what is interesting with some people that procrastinate, they say that you can have a bit of positivity about it, because if you're procrastinating about something and you'll obviously go and find as much other things to do. So people can have very clean houses, right, and they can have, right, because they don't want to do it, so they're avoiding it. So they're doing other things to avoid it. So they can end up doing a lot of positive things to avoid the thing that they don't want to do. So there is that kind of a positive slant on the fact that of procrastinators. And anyone that's listening here who's procrastinated has probably thought of the positive things they've done to avoid it. They do everything in their power to avoid it.
Yeah.
They will actually even do jobs that they actually hate to avoid actually doing whatever they're supposed to do. So, I mean, like, I suppose what will I be doing when I'm working with clients is just trying to get the mindset to change, the mindset around that whatever bad thing that you're actually putting off, that it can never be as bad as what you make it out to be. And everything that you're avoiding, like, I mean, if you're avoiding, you know, if you're expecting letters from the government or something like that, and you're avoiding it, and it has a date on it, and you're avoiding it, you know, you miss a date or something like that, and this can have legal implications on you. So, you know, I mean, I suppose that I try to get all my clients to live in the present and to stay in the present. So, you know, for me, if I get a letter in the post, I just open it. You know what I mean? Because I do know, and I've seen it through so many clients, of how detrimental and how much it changes and causes a huge ripple effect on their lives when they procrastinate on a regular basis. You know, every day procrastinating about something, procrastinating. And you think about it, if you put one thing off and you keep on putting one thing off every day, by the end of the week, that's seven things.
Yeah,
and by the end of the month,
yeah,
you're talking 30 things that you've actually put off, and they keep on building. And the more things that you put off, the more stress you're causing on your body in the present, the more anxiety that you're causing. It changes your mood. You start getting ratty with people. You start biting people's head off. You know, it can cause people, extreme levels could be people not actually leaving their house or anything because they're procrastinating so much about things. It just has such a huge detrimental effect on people. And I guarantee you, there's people listening here on the radio and they're actually saying, yeah, I remember procrastinating about something, and I remember that it did. When you're procrastinating about something, you can feel that stress in your body. You can feel how it's actually causing a mood swings and everything, and it's not keeping you in the positive vibrations that you need to be kept in. So, you know, yes, the basic one is to literally say to people, you know, stop procrastinating, actually change and actually do whatever you need to do and just do it.
Okay, but I suppose that's easier said than done. Obviously,
completely.
Like, cause I mean, I will say, just as an example, you know, people getting letters in the bank or their Visa card is maxed out. They're looking, you know, there's letters coming in looking for money and you can't pay it and whatever like that. And you're, as you say, you're putting these letters to the side. We'll deal with him another time. But that stress obviously is in the back of your head all the time, because you know it's there and you know it's not going away. So really what you should be doing is meeting it head on and talk to someone about that.
Well, that's it, like, because I mean, one of the big ones that comes out of it is insomnia. People aren't able to sleep properly because they're going to bed with the worry of it, and then they're not sleeping properly, and that has another detrimental effect too. You know, lack of sleep has a physical detrimental effect, and, you know, the obvious one is to try and fix it yourself or talk to a friend and get your friend to open the letter for you or something like that, or something like that. But I mean, like, when people come to me, like, I mean, I do cognitive behavior therapy, which is just basically changing this thought process that they have in their head that whatever they're delaying is literally going to cause a huge negative effect. And that negative effect is actually worse than actually meeting it head on. But not, if there's anything we've learned about COVID, we've learned that nothing is really as bad as we ever thought it ever was going to be, you know? So, I mean, you know, the basic trick is to do it. But I mean, then when you have to come to a therapist and you actually have to work on it, you know, it's literally changing that fixed mindset that you have, that it, that something is going to be really, really, really bad and there's not much you can do.
What gets us into that mindset, first of all? I mean, like... What causes it?
Well, I suppose procrastination comes from when actually, you know, worst case scenario happens for you. So you know that it's going to be something bad. And when you open up, it is, you actually look and go, yeah, I knew it was going to be bad. I'm right. It was going to be bad. So the next time it actually happens, you go, I'm not opening that because I know it was going to be bad. And you start into that sequence, that cycle of negativity.
It can
that
be something
cycle.
As simple as that.
It can be something as simple as that. And look, then there's other factors of your type of childhood that you were brought up in. If you were brought up in a household where there was a lot of negativity, if you were brought up in a poor upbringing where you were always worrying about money, you were always worrying about bills, you were always, you know, there was always deadlines and all that sort of stuff. You bring that into your adulthood and, you know, you remember your mum saying, oh, geez, there's the red letter. We can't open that. Let's put that red letter aside.
And then you're in your
adulthood and you get a red letter. And what do? You don't open it, you know. Yeah. And that comes from your childhood. And that's just changing that belief pattern that you have in your childhood that any letter that's red is bad. And it can go back to, and these things trigger in our adulthood. And here we are in our 50s and something like that triggers in it. We've no idea that we remember this since we were 6 years of age.
Yeah.
And when you come to therapy, we delve into that and we look at that and we see where it was triggered in you. And we work with the fact that you can actually change. You know, you can change anything. You don't have to believe everything that you were told in your childhood. You don't have to believe that.
It's amazing, really. Like, I know we're probably talking together about a year or so at this stage. The amount of stuff that affects you in your adulthood or in your older years that resonates back with your childhood, it's unbelievable, isn't it? An awful lot of stuff, like, it's all about your blueprint, really. As we said before, your beliefs. What are your beliefs?
Yeah.
That's what's going to bring you forward.
Well, I mean, we you know what I mean? And nobody does anything wrong in your childhood. Like, you know, I'm saying there is obviously extreme levels in families, but in general, in a normal upbringing of a family, you can say one word to one child and they take it as, that's grand, that's fine. And the other one takes it as gospel, as it's true.
And you don't know what that one word
is to a child, you know? You know, I was talking to someone the other day about the fact that they were telling me that they found out, and they're in their 40s, that they're actually very good singers. They're actually, you know, expert singers. And I said, well, why do you not sing? And when I was going to choir practice, the priest turned around to me and told me I was absolutely useless and I was a bad singer. And I believed it. And I believed it to this day into my adulthood. People would ask me to sing and I go, oh, no, I can't sing. I'm a bad singer.
And they believed it.
Whereas this client obviously is coming to me and they've started tapping into singing and has actually proven that they're actually an absolutely fantastic singer. So we all believe so much things from our childhood. We all are told that we can't do maths. We're all told that we can't do this or we can't do that. And we believe it. One person says something to us, but children are like sponges. You know, they'll take on anything. And bear in mind, they look up to adults. If an adult comes along and says something, they look up to them. They go, okay, that's gospel. That's true. And then we believe it. And, you know, it's when you think logically about it, you go, Why do we think that one person says something to us and we believe that we can't sing, we believe that we are not creative, that we can't paint or we can't do anything. So that's, everything delves back into your childhood, you know, and it's triggered. You don't know when it's going to be triggered in your adulthood. You don't know why it's triggered in your adulthood. And that's what every single client that comes to me, you know, we always end up going into their childhood. We always end up going into something in their past that actually triggered this, that actually made them feel this way in their present. And it's only when you come to a therapist and you actually look at it. Because you can't go to your parents to ask them about that. You can't go to your brothers or sisters, your friends, because they're, you know, going to a friend or a brother and sister to ask them what you're thinking will either tell you you're completely bonkers, or they won't be able to help you because they're worried that they would actually hurt you or upset you. Whereas when you come to a therapist, I know nothing about your family. I know nothing about. So I'm able to actually delve into the darker parts of you, and I'm brave enough to actually say, you know, maybe this doesn't work for you because of this that happened in your childhood. And the amount of clients that would say to me, geez, I never looked at it that way, Shane. How did I not see that? That's so obvious now, but I never looked at it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've spoken to lots of people like that at moment, and they have that light bulb moment when they say, Jesus, you know. Like you said, as soon as you're told that, and next thing the light goes on, said, really, is that all? You know, and that's what fascinates me about it. Like, you're going down this road, and you know you're not in a good place. You're headed, you're all over the place, but it could be just something so simple that just to realise that maybe this was it. You know, it is
but
amazing.
I mean, I find it so fascinating in the world of therapy. I absolutely love the job that I do, and I love being able to help clients to suddenly see things and see things completely different. Mm-hmm. And it even goes back to the procrastination. Like, I mean, when, you know, clients come in and they say, oh, I just procrastinate. Jesus Christ, I always procrastinated. And I go, anytime anyone says to me, oh, I always procrastinate, the light bulb goes on in my head always, how far back did you always procrastinate? Yeah. When did it actually start within you? Oh, but sure, I've always said it. Since when? If I was to pick an age, I said 8, what would they say? What would you say? And they go, yeah, I think I was always procrastinating. And then we'd look into it and we'd see that something happened at 8 years of age where they saw, you know, their mum or their dad getting upset because of getting bad news about something, and that bad news associated, and that procrastination started. So then the 8-year-old child, you know, went into school and the teacher said something bad to them, and it just triggered something that had a knock-on effect in that. And suddenly they've always procrastinated since they were the age of 8 years of age, and here they are in their 50s, and they accept that this is part of who they are. Mm-hmm. I'm a procrastinator. That's, you know, my name is Shane, I'm a procrastinator.
But you
don't have to be like that, because you actually believe in your belief system. Like, we all have a belief system. We all did, you know, the tables when we were in maths and all that sort of stuff. And we all know what they were, and we followed them through in our life. And when we're in our head, we're able to go on 2 times 3, you know, work it out. Yeah. But we're told other things in our childhood, and we believe that they are fact, but they're not fact.
Right.
They're not real. We've made them up that they are actually real, and we actually believe it. And I suppose another thing that can happen as well then is if maybe you've lost a parent, and some of the last thing they said it to you might be, you know, something like, when you become an adult, you know, watch out for the watch out for the bank manager. He will always try and rob you.
Yeah.
From then that moment on, you won't go to a bank and you won't get a loan, and you'll procrastinate and you'll worry about that. And then it's the link, and when you're trying to work with a client and you're actually saying that to them, they struggle with it because they don't want to let that go, because that's their link to their parent who's passed. And it's very hard for them to actually see that they actually need to leave that one throwaway statement, that if their father is above in heaven at the moment and he's looking down on them and he's actually saying, why are you still listening to me when I said that at the last time?
Yeah,
you know, but we believe it. We trust in it. Yeah. We trust in our parents. We trust in whatever.
So is it as simple so as just changing the mindset?
It's as simple and as hard as it is. It's as simple as somebody just listening to this and literally saying, okay, I have a letter on the table. I need to open it, and I'm just going to open it, and whatever the consequences are out of it, I'll deal with it. It's as simple as that for anyone that's procrastinating and thinking about something. And it's as hard as it is if you have to actually come to therapy, talk to a therapist about that. But it's all solvable. Everything is solvable within your head. You know, this is why, you know, mental health is still such a taboo subject. You know, it's still a subject that people struggle to actually talk about their mental health, struggle to talk about what's going on for them. So, you know, I know psychotherapy works. I know that I have clients that come into me and after 4 sessions they're healed, or 44 sessions they're healed. Whatever it takes, whatever length of time it takes, but it works. It 100% works. It changes people's lives.
Yeah. And just very quickly now, Shane, because we're running out of time, I was listening again on radio, another radio station this morning, and the amount of suicides in Cork this month, I think they were saying there were 39 in Cork this month, this Cork County alone, which is frightening. But there was one example of this fella. He's an agriculture contractor, but he's trained in suicide counselling or whatever like that, whatever you want to word it. But he actually went out to 3 people over the weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday night, 3 different situations, 3 different farmers, whatever like that, because it was based on farmers, really. And he reckoned by just talking to one of those fellas on Friday night, probably saved his life.
Yeah.
And that's what I suppose what I'm trying to get across is really is like how important it is for like, and as that person he was talking to said, like, you know, just to get that off my chest, it meant everything, and you know, it probably saved his life.
And to talk to someone trained makes such a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because we do say in Ireland, you know, we're great talkers and we can talk to people, but someone who's actually qualified and knows what they're talking about and can take, and I suppose the biggest thing for me is that people can actually, you know, when they say things to me, they don't shock me. You know, mm-hmm. sort of the amount of clients that would say to me, Shane, you know, I love speaking to you because I'm not judged. I don't feel like I'm judged. I don't feel that you're looking down on me. So no matter how bad someone feels and whatever they're saying, they don't get a reaction from me that says, you know, if someone says to me, oh, I'm thinking about killing myself because of my girlfriend dumping me, you know, most people, well, a lot of people go, mistake for a girl? What the fuck are you thinking about there? Whereas I'd meet them at that place and they'd go, oh, they'd feel heard. And that is the biggest thing that people say, especially around suicide. Exactly, no one heard me.
Yes,
and then
you have people saying,
but I was talking to one the other day. What does he mean he wasn't heard? It's a difference, it's a totally different thing to be heard and to be heard. It's a totally different thing. Yeah. To be heard is about your body, your soul, everything actually connecting with that person, holding that person and actually them actually feeling that they're actually, someone's actually listening to them. The first amount of people that say to me, you're the first person ever to listen to me, Shane.
Yeah.
And I'm going, did you never talk to anybody about this? Loads of people, but you're the first person ever to listen to me.
Yeah. And I suppose, look, that's I just wanted to finish up on that, really. That's what I'm trying to get across there is by talking to someone like yourself, that getting that off your chest and being heard, it's a life changer.
It changes people. Yeah. I've no doubt in my mind I have talked people off the fence. I've no doubt in my mind that I've talked two people out of suicide ever in my life so far, and I'm hoping that I will have hundreds more going forward for the rest of my life in this career, mm-hmm. because you know it's a privileged job that I do to actually that you can actually help and save people's lives.
Great stuff. Shane, that's all we've got time for. Thank you very much indeed once again, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks' time, please, God.
Perfect. Thank you
Cheers.
Very much.
Thank you very all much. Right, Cheers. Bye.